When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car at the end of my workday, where I share a few thoughts about the things I'm thinking about at the art desk. Cartooning thoughts, visual storytelling thoughts, all sorts of thoughts inside the mind of a cartoonist. So what am I thinking about today? Well, today I want to talk about a little bit about themes. Now, I come back and forth at themes over and over again throughout the Art and Story podcast with Mark Rudolph. And it's because it's something that I think is a very important and valuable inroad to writing interesting stories. A theme, just to summarize this very quickly, is essentially what the story is about, what you're trying to say. In other words, and I'm going to use this language probably a few times during this episode of Thunder Punch Daily, the argument that you wish to make through the story. Now, that's not to say that a theme has to be something that you're trying to indoctrinate people with. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's propaganda, but it can be an exploration of a point. And I like to start almost all my stories that way. I usually, my process begins with a premise or a genre or a character or a group of characters. And maybe even sometimes even an initial problem will be there. But usually my next step will always be, what is the story about? What am I trying to say with the story? And then usually I break it down to a one sentence type of thing. Like, as I've talked about in the front again and again, the story of a boy who is presented with the problems of adulthood before he feels that he is ready. Or in the case of The Replacements, it's the exploration of a modern replacing of an old-timey hero. Old-timey hero has fallen into obscurity, and these new people have to take his place. And what does that mean? So that's not exactly some kind of didactic statement where I'm trying to convince somebody of something. It's more of an exploration of an idea. But how do you do it? How do you express your theme? That's a toughie. And it's a very, this is where the whole process of writing becomes very sophisticated and complex and takes many years to really get a grip on. And even when after you've done a few stories and done them, in your opinion, well, each time it's a new struggle, or hopefully it is a new struggle. If not, then you're just beating on the same old drum, and nobody wants to just stay in a rut. But there's many tools and techniques and strategies that I like to employ to dig at a theme and explore a theme in my stories. And one of them is through characters. And I do think that a neat way to think about building a comic story, especially if you're dealing with, most stories are going to have more than one character. Dan Mishkin once told the story, a friend of his who did an entire issue of a comic with only one character in it by himself, and he reported about how difficult that was. I think this was actually in like an old episode of Art and Story where I interviewed Dan Mishkin, like episode 16 or something like that. But most of the time, you're going to explore your story through a multitude of characters, at least a couple. And the interesting thing that you can do in order to flesh out your theme, once you've got your one-sentence description, this is the argument I want to make, this is the point I want to make, this is the message that I want to convey, or this is the idea that I want to explore, is think of your characters as representing different viewpoints or different arguments for the theme. And this is where I think I'm guilty of this as well. When I was starting out as a cartoonist, I interpreted all my characters as being me. You know, this is me if I was a big stone guy. This is me if I was an old weapon user who uses a bow and arrow. And my characters all felt really flat and not very interesting. And I think this is where life experience comes in, because the more people you meet, the more characters you've got in your library, and the more you try to understand people, the more ammunition you're going to have to explore themes through the viewpoints of other characters, looking at the theme from the viewpoints of these different characters. And I have an analogy, or not an analogy so much as an anecdote, to explain what I mean and how I came to this realization. Because this is actually, I've heard this advice uttered by a lot of different writers, but I tripped upon it completely by accident on my own without actually looking for it. And how I tripped upon it was by thinking about the Transformers.
Transformers!
Okay, so when I was in my early 20s, I've always been a huge Transformers fan. But when I was in my early 20s and I was beginning to talk on the phone every week with my buddy Hoover about various ideas about the Transformers universe and what we thought of them, we came around one time to talking about the nature of this thing in the Transformers universe called the Matrix. For those who don't know, I'll just try to summarize this very quickly. Because the Transformers franchise has been handled by so many different writers, this thing called the Matrix has a lot of different definitions depending on which iteration of the Transformers you're talking about. If you go by the original Sunbow cartoons, it is this magical device that resides in Optimus Prime's chest and is the repository for all of the fallen leaders of the Autobots. All their wisdom gets contained in the Matrix. And unleashing that wisdom somehow can cause like magical things to happen, like destroying Unicron and saving the world from a hate plague and all sorts of other things. And the leaders can go inside of it and talk to fallen leaders when they need advice. If you go by the Bob Budiansky Transformers comic series, it was a device with which they could create new Transformers life. It was this program that could actually be transferred via telepathy to different leaders, and each leader is given this program to create new Transformers. And then Simon Furman, when he came along to write the series, he gave it an even greater importance in terms of a cosmic mythology with a god named Primus, who was the actual creator of all Transformers life and whose spirit resided inside of Cybertron itself. So it was there's a lot of different interpretations of what the Matrix was. And I remember talking with my buddy Hoover about how fun it would be to do a fanfic. Yeah, that's right. I considered doing fanfics once upon a time. Still consider it from time to time. Where Wheeljack and Perceptor and some other characters, like I think Alpha Trion, some of the other Transformers with different sort of viewpoints and personalities in the series, basically had a roundtable discussion about the nature of the Matrix. Sort of like a Transformers version of the indie movie Mind Walk, if anybody's seen that, where it's just like three people walking around and talking about philosophy. That's literally the movie. Saw it in my early 20s and I did not get it. But anyway, so in this proposed fanfic, I would explore the nature of the Matrix from Wheeljack's standpoint. Wheeljack is an engineer, and so he would say, well, it is a sort of a crystallized hard disk, for lack of a better term, where all of the wisdom of the fallen leaders gets stored. So it's like a hard drive that gets installed in every leader, and everything they learn gets recorded on there, and then new leaders can access that information when they need assistance in difficult decisions. And I thought, well, what would an Alpha Trion think of that? Well, Alpha Trion, he's a bit of like an old sort of half engineer, half mystic. He would subscribe to the notion of the Matrix being a spiritual vessel, a piece of the original fallen god Primus. And yes, it does contain the wisdom of the fallen leaders, but it also it contains their souls itself. So in the Beast Wars series, they actually talk about like going to the Matrix when you die. And so that would be Alpha Trion's standpoint, is that this is sort of like a physical little ball of heaven that you can go into and talk to your ancestors, as it were. And the point of the story wasn't about coming up with a definitive answer, but more or less of looking at it from all these different sides, like that old saying, the elephant in the room. If anybody's heard that, you know, it's like a bunch of blind guys in a room with an elephant, and if one guy's touching the trunk, he thinks, oh, it's a snake. And one guy touches, say, the side, he's like, oh, it's a giant hippo or whatever. But the point is, you're only getting part of the overall picture of what's at work there. And the clue for me was when I started talking about it in terms of characters arguing the point. And that became sort of a lightning bolt moment for me to think about new stories that I wrote afterwards, like stories like The Front, stories like The Replacement, Silver and the Periodic Forces, and so on, where I think about what is the meaning of my story and then line up my characters to have them address their personal standpoint on what the theme is. Not as straightforward as a roundtable discussion, but when you find those thematic moments to explore in the story, you presume, or preferably, let me say, through some kind of action as well as dialogue, you can have the different characters express dialogue or take an action that expresses their viewpoint on the theme. So in the case of The Front, to go back to that, the theme was Thirsty being the boy who was introduced to the struggles of adulthood before he feels that he's ready. Well, the moment when the climax of the story, when I expressed the theme, Thirsty's transformation as a character, in relation to that theme is when he decides to quote unquote sacrifice himself to save his friends. He orders his two buddies, Knox and Gibson, to use their powers, which will activate a machine that will cause Thirsty great pain and eventually kill him, but they need to do this in order to release Rex from these shackles or whatever so that Rex can fight the main bad guy. And Thirsty's very calm about it because he's given himself over to this thing. Knox, on the other hand, who is Thirsty's thematic opposite in many ways, says, no, remember the collars that we're wearing, these machines that are hooked up to us? If we use our powers, we'll get hurt. Use our powers too much and we die. And then even when Thirsty explains, well, the only one's going to get hurt is me, and we got to do this. We're in a crisis situation. We just do it. And Knox even throws in after that, you got a pretty low pain threshold, Thirsty. Remember when you stepped on that nail? Even pragmatically, even in just a normal jokey sentence that he would say in a more natural context of like they're just sitting around the house. He's always reminding Thirsty of the danger, the danger, the danger, the danger. Thirsty's given himself over to the danger. Knox refuses to. And that was a moment where, in the climax of the story, as well as in the dialogue of the story, I was showing these two characters. Knox is never going to be ready to give himself over to that, at least in the context of that first book. But Thirsty is. So that's what I'm talking about, is think about, line up your characters and see how they approach your theme in terms of them having an argument. And you can pick and choose people that you've known throughout your life to use as archetypes for this, in terms of how they've reacted to things that you feel very strongly about, how they've argued against things like that. Even Thirsty's ex-girlfriend in the beginning of the book is based on conversations I've had with dozens of, several ex-girlfriends. Now I'm talking like Mark, right? I got dozens of women in my past. Not really. So there's the thought of the day is, don't just think about these characters as being different aspects or inflections of you. Think about them being as different aspects or inflections of your theme. Okay. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drost of jdrost.com. You can find more podcasts like this one at artandstorypodcast.com, like Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily. Don't forget about the forums. You can find that right in the header there on the Art and Story website. And you can talk about the stuff we talk about on these shows there in the forums with us. Don't forget about the videos, the open office hours, a lot of stuff to be had. And this is where I have to say thank you very much for subscribing to Art and Story Supreme. We couldn't do this without you, and we really appreciate your support. So until next time, everybody, I've been Jersey Drost, and remember...
Hey, Bob, want to paint your name?
No, thanks.
What are you, a sissy? Prove you're not, or we'll tell everybody.
I just don't feel right about it.
Right on.
Flint!
It's hard not to follow the crowd, but sometimes that path is just a dead end.
I knew I was right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Me too.
Remember, listen to yourself.
Because I know what's best for me.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!